And then someone went,
testing, 1, 2.
I can really taste the bacteria.
What's up, John? What's up, John Burton?
1, 2, 3, 4. Why you can't have a best?
Okay, wait. Let me rewind. John, you're right.
Right. I'm just going to play us in a little bit.
When are you going to tell me we're starting?
We started.
Okay. Awesome.
Well, I was telling myself that it's just a chat between two friends.
It's just people. Me, you, in a big room that's still a little too empty and needs soundproofing. But
you're intuitive as well, as I was saying, Trish is, with touching upon my why. And she actually asked, you know, about my rock bottom, because I had mentioned it, and I just touched on it.
Trish asked you?
Yeah, in the first show.
Okay, right.
And, you know, I touched on it because...
First off, do you listen to the show much? Because you're on it, like, every third episode.
Huh?
Every third episode, I tell the Gramercy Bahamas... Do you remember that story?
Okay.
Do you remember that?
Of course. Oh, of course I do.
I tell that story every third show.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm sorry.
No, don't
I interrupted
be
you like,
don't
a good,
be sorry,
like a good host would do.
This is the language.
You.
This is, you know, squirrel, but very meaningfully so. This is,
so rock
means
bottom.
The world to me. Yeah, so of course, I always, when it comes up, when asked or when relevant, loss is, as you remember, is my why.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not the typical, you know, you know, eighth generational psychic in my family or psychic medium. It's not like that. So really, loss brought it out of me. And I feel it in my throat right now.
Mm.
Just because it's, I touch on it. But I really don't go that deep unless, you know, it's appropriate on a handful of times in a reading, you know, somebody's inquired. And it was relevant to their story and what they were going through. So that's why I'm open to it.
Right.
But, you know, I'm still healing in process. So before I go here to my fancy teleprompter.
Listener, she's got an index card with three lines written on it. That's the best.
Take a mental picture. Before I go into it. I always preface the fact that I am honored to sit with many people in readings and, you know, not just connect them to loved ones, but I sit with a lot of parents that have lost their children, sons and daughters, and you don't have to be in a situation like that. I think it's fair to say anybody would agree that the ultimate loss is losing a child.
Right.
No matter what age, no matter the story, that to me is the unthinkable.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, part of the journey of being human, life, love, loss. So anyway, I always put that out there because my loss, although it's relevant to children, my kids are still alive and well. I have the opportunity. We have the opportunity to reconnect. And I believe we will. I don't know when, but I know we will.
So you're not close to either one right now.
So it's been 8 years. So May 3rd was the 8-year anniversary of absolutely zero contact, despite my attempts.
That is so hard.
Yeah. So it is, and to me, that is it's the most challenging thing that I have ever experienced, and it's on the daily because they're a part of me. But I'm always so mindful. And really, again, it's not just what I do, but I think, again, because, you know, a parent having a child, and you don't have to be, we're all parents in some way. We're all connected to someone. So loss cuts, loss hurts. But I, you know, when I'm sitting opposite a mom who's lost her son or her daughter, or a dad, his son or daughter. I mean, it just, it's the most indescribable feeling and emotion to share in that, and to be able to put them in touch to their child for a minute. And it always reminds me, it humbles me, mm-hmm. you know, because I still have the physical opportunity to reconnect with mine. So again, I'm saying the same thing twice in a different way, but you can see that, you know, I'm very, very compassionate and empathetic to the folks I sit with that have lost kids. So
I have sent one woman who
yep.
to get to, and she came yep. back and said it was brilliant.
I remember yeah. she was an absolute light and love herself. Mm. So thank you.
Oh, thank you.
And an honor, to say the least. But back to...
So 8 years ago, where are you in life?
I'm actually, despite the loss, you know, the loss of the physical and emotional relationship, although telepathically, you can't kill that bond, because you can't kill love. You can't, life lives on, and that's why I do what I do. So my experience of loss in the different ways, and I'll get into that in a bit,
in 1 minute.
I do that all the time. Where was I? Did it again.
So 8 years ago, there's lots. Where were you in life? Like, were you married, not married, working, not working?
So, it's from divorce.
Okay.
And, you know, I actually did share custody. They're 21 now. You know, they left when they were 13.
Mm.
And did you see that?
Yep, I did.
Did you feel it too?
Yep. Plow ahead.
She's got a lump in her throat. As I said, I'm a healing in process. They left when they were 13, and you know, so from then, from May 3rd, 2017,
I'm going to show this a little bit closer to you. Sorry. No, you're good.
May 3rd.
Sit the way you were. Perfect.
Of this year marked the eight year anniversary since they've left. And, you know, every day, every moment is a challenge, but just something about the 8 year mark, despite my attempts of, contact, I still do it anyway, you know, a lot of this and, but to go a little bit deeper, in 2017, I had a flurry of loss, different types, different levels. So, my grandparents, who pretty much helped raise me, you know, I'm from divorce myself, surprise. Very close with my grandparents, and they passed a month apart from each other. Then later on the next year, all of this loss is within about a year's time. The following year, my dad passed, and we were just starting to get close, because you know, we were estranged for a while, and we were never really close to begin with. So upon our reunion, we were really developing that father-daughter bond, and he got time with my kids too. So it was really, we were nurturing that. And then he was battling cancer, and you know, eventually he passed, and I'm like, thanks, Dad, really?
Right.
You had to go. We were just getting there. But
right.
Of course, I reconnected with him in my own spiritual way. So we're actually more close. We're closer now than ever.
Mm.
But those three losses, my grandparents, my dad, and then months later, my kids left. So, you know, again, three passings with, followed by my, you know, my kids. I have twins, by the way, I should say.
Oh, okay.
21-year-old twins now, but they left. So
do you remember when the doctor told you were going to have twins?
Of course.
Dude.
It was talk about cathartic and surreal and like pinch me, and I didn't know what to think or feel.
When Trish got pregnant,
yeah,
they do the ultrasound, and they're like, okay, there's one.
Yeah.
And, and then she goes, we're going to look for another. I'm like, another?
Okay.
That never dawned on me. Another. Fuck
yeah.
Another. No. They didn't find one, but I'm like...
Yeah, I was going to say, did I miss that? How did I miss that? Oh, my gosh.
No, but I'm like, yeah. I'm like, it didn't even dawn on me.
It's funny because they didn't do that. You know, I have wonderful doctors and nurses. See that happen?
Yep. Yeah. I got you. Don't worry.
I know you do.
You're going to be good.
That normally happens in readings.
I did with ours, yeah.
Yeah. it's just one of the ways the departed communicate something related to their passing. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it's very personal, related to what we're talking about. So it's hitting home in a different way. But with the first few sonograms, they were just listening to that one heartbeat,
right?
And then when we went for the sonogram to find out the sex, that's when it was like, okay, see the head here, the body here, the legs here. I see the head over here. I'm like, wait a second.
Wait. Please tell me it's human.
Repeat that, yes. I'm thinking Siamese. I mean, right. All these things are good. Whatever is a blessing.
We found your child's other head.
All the feelings, all the thoughts, I'm embracing it, but surreal, unbelievable.
We found your kid's second head.
So not only did we find out it was a boy, it was also a girl.
Mm.
So the best of both worlds. And
They didn't have gender reveal parties back then.
No, because like I said, they're 21 now, so this is 2004, well, 2003 at that time. But just the ultimate gift to me, times two. But where were we? So my grandparents went home, my dad followed, and then my kids left me. So different type of loss, but it still cuts deeply.
Right.
Every day. And I do my best to stay positive and do what I do to be of service by giving to others, in this way.
Did they leave because of the divorce? Was that
it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was because we... Well, let me see, right where to go, because it was about 7+ years in court. I'm not gonna go here, but a lot of blood, sweat, tears.
No, that's time, expensive. You've heard my marriage rant,
so,
right?
I have not.
I think marriage should be illegal, and I'm not kidding. And I think in 100 years, people are gonna laugh at the institution of marriage as we have framed it. I'm not talking about lifelong commitment. I'm not talking about cohabitation. I'm not talking about family. I'm talking about the legal construct of marriage. And I tell my daughter this all the time. I go, listen, if you took all your money, and you can't hide any of it, if you took all your money and you could only put it in one bank, and over half the time, so the odds are against you to begin with, over half the time when you went to that bank, you only got half your money back, and you had to pay the bank $50,000 or $100,000 or whatever it is to get half your money back, that bank would be illegal today. But that's what marriage is. Like, as a legal construct.
I get it. Completely understand, because, it's like, why does the government have to get involved?
Yeah. I mean, I get, equitable distribution, and that's fine. If you make the decision to get married,
mm-hmm.
it's 50-50. If you don't want to risk giving, there's no argument, it's 50-50. If you don't want that, here's a tip: don't get married.
Right. It's kind of all how you look at it. You can do it anyway, but choose to look at it your own way. So you're kind of
And the tax and by the way, there we'll get back to it in a second. But there's tax incentives for you to put your money in the bank that fails over half the time, that you're going to have to pay somebody $50,000 to get your 50% back out. There's tax incentives for you to do that. That's an insane scenario.
Yeah.
I had a divorce attorney in here, and I actually flipped her.
Ooh.
I flipped her on this because she's like, I said, I argued, and she goes, you make points. I'm like, look, there's an agreement. Let's call it marriage. If you enter into that agreement, there's no prenup, there's no nothing. It's all your assets get split in half and you both start over. And, how you want to do that is up to you.
Yeah.
You have 3 months to do it, or the court's going to do it for you. It's going to be 50% and 50%, and that's it. If you don't want to enter into that agreement, if that doesn't sound right, make your own agreement. Make your own contract. And if at the end of it you don't like that contract and you think the other person faulted, you sue them and you enter a civil lawsuit, and there's a statute of limitation on it. It has to be decided by 9 months or a year, or it's 50-50. Because the money that the attorneys make is insane.
Oh, that's why,
Yeah.
She's signaling over here, making gestures, referencing to the resources being exhausted in every way.
And unfair, because one partner has more resources than the other, and it can become, if it can become a war of attrition, and eventually you fold out of fatigue.
It was, so I'm gonna jump on that. You know, over 7 years, and just fighting an uphill battle, getting nowhere. And the harder I fought, the more I was actually pushing them away, and the more I was losing. So physically, emotionally, mentally, financially, it was catastrophic.
Sure.
And I felt in my mind at the time I was doing everything to save them, and quite honestly, it was the contrary. But I don't regret it, because it made me the person that I am today. Despite the loss and the separation with the kids, I wouldn't be here if I didn't reach rock bottom. And thank you again, Trish. Thank you to you.
Can I try to disabuse you of that for a second?
Yes.
I don't want to.
And, woo, love that up there.
What's that?
That,
oh, my God.
Whatever that is.
That, my best friend from college painted that for me. It's a man over fire. It's floating over.
It's like a phoenix.
Yeah, it's floating over whatever is burning you.
Yes.
And not falling into it.
But very, very powerful.
Yeah, I think he's like 40 years old now. Yeah. I have friends who were for 40 years. That's not right.
Yeah.
Shout out Dan Arlington, but that's not right. I should not be old enough to have friends for 40 years.
How you look at it.
That's
no,
true.
You're today years old.
Oh, what time are we in the show? I'm going to mark that. We are 15 minutes, 48 seconds
come
in.
On.
You are today years old. I love that.
Own that.
Yeah. I always said you should go into like you do with your spiritual calling, but your side hustle should be like posters and magnets. And because you say four of them an hour. That this is.
Well, that's why I add words together in one. Put two words together as one. But would I say mitt?
Mitt, yes.
Not mixed.
Well,
up,
no.
What the hell
okay.
are we talking about?
Well, partner. You say the words as you hear them. I'll transcribe them into English, and then we can.
All right, we'll talk after.
Yeah. But I'm not sure I agree with the premise that you lost them because of that fight. It's you are asking a then 13. No, then how old?
So
it started when they were six.
They left when they were 13, six or seven.
Yeah, you're asking a 6 or 7 year old to process. A legal right. to process a legal journey
right.
that you can't even process.
And around this time, the bylaws in the state of New York had changed to where at the age of 11, the children's wishes shall be granted. They dropped it from 14 down to 11. How do you put the power of that decision making in a kid's hands? Like, so basically they have a choice to decide what parent they wanted to be with.
At 11, it's questionable whether they can be home alone, but they get to pick a, yeah, that's ridiculous
right.
too.
So here they are at that age, and even though this is despite me having, you know, we were sharing custody.
Right.
Despite me having custody of my kids, they could ultimately choose who they want to be with. So that's what happened. And then fast forward, this date is so profound for me, May 3rd of 2017, because not only had my dad and my grandparents
shoot, if
passed,
I had known, I would have, well, we weren't open then. Damn
no,
it.
It's I took the day off. I couldn't work.
Oh, okay.
I had to mourn and get it out.
That
and,
makes sense.
Yeah, do the ugly crying.
I don't think you can ugly cry. Can you ugly cry?
Oh, yeah, it's there.
It is?
Yes, you're too kind. Oh, gosh. Sometimes
I don't believe it. Ugly cry for me. No,
no, not here.
I mean.
May 3rd, not only did I lose my grandparents and my dad in that order, but May 3rd is also my grandmother's birthday. So the fact that my kids left on that day, on the day their grandmother left, my grandmother's, you know, birthday, it was just
how do they
impacting.
It's how do
like
they tell
emphasizing.
You?
Huh?
How do they tell
so,
you?
You're always spot on. How do you know what questions to ask? So basically, our thing was, well, I'll back up to the night before. I tucked them in, as always. We had our normal routine, you know, one at a time. I tucked one in at a time. And then the next morning, I took them to the bus and saw them off. It was, you know, it was Friday, but it was their weekend with me. So I took them to the bus, and after my work at the time, I went to get them off the bus.
You were in the schools.
Yep. Then. At the time, I was working as a TA, a teaching assistant.
Right.
I went back to the bus stop to pick them up. They weren't there.
Oh, my God.
And I knew. I just knew. Without knowing, I knew. And despite my attempts of contacting and legal recourse and all of that, I was already at the point of where I knew it was at a dead end, because the harder I fought, the more evidence I was finding that I was losing them. Not just, I haven't lost them, because a parent can never lose their child, and I will say that until the end of time. But anyway, back to, they weren't there. I just knew.
You're at the bus stop and they don't get off the bus.
Yeah. And
that will F you up for 20 years.
So around this time, when this is all happening and I couldn't get them back despite my contact, and Darren, you know Darren, you remember, he says hello, by the way, Darren, my fiance.
He looks like, he might be the most fun person on the planet.
Oh, you see it. Yes. That's
when I see pictures of him, I'm like, that dude is just all fun.
Yeah, that's, it's funny you say that, because somebody else, an old mentor of mine, Reiki mentor, had said the same exact thing, that he came into your life to have fun.
Right.
And among other things, but just, he's an angel in disguise. He's not an angel in disguise. He is my guardian angel.
Right. That's
because
beautiful.
He helps balance me out. He's very grounding to me. So back to,
you're at the bus stop. They don't show. You knew, but you didn't know, but you knew.
I knew around this time. I was in the house. Darren came home. I don't know why I walked into the kitchen. He was already there. He looked at me, and you know, he's a big guy.
Yeah.
And he had tears coming down
His
cheeks, looking at me and saying, look at you. You can't do this anymore. You're dying from the inside out. And that hit me.
Mm.
Because I had another set of eyes and another heart to remind me of what I was already feeling, that I was dying from the inside out. And had I stayed, in many ways, I knew that I wouldn't be here today. So Darren's perspective, everything that was happening at my life at the time, from the loss, and then I was a robot at that time. I'm grateful for my job at the time, because it put me back into the workforce and got me interacting with people again, and it was building my confidence. I was able to do my spiritual work on the side, but I was outgrowing it, and I knew I was not meant to be there anymore. I was working at a school and becoming aware of loved ones there. I'm like, this isn't good. That can't be happening in a school. Thankfully, a couple people welcomed it, so I got a couple readings in there.
Oh, really?
And it showed me this is what I was supposed to do. Yeah.
Mm.
So,
well, that's kind of cool.
There's so many blessings in disguise that when I pay attention, that trail of breadcrumbs, that wasn't a trail of breadcrumbs, it was a trail of golden nuggets leading me where I am. Not saying I'm not feeling the loss of my kids and the relationship of, but...
isn't that a weird... That's such a weird space, and people... I struggle with it, too. People struggle with it. It's like you've landed in a good place... Yeah. And people automatically infer, well, that means you're over the other stuff. No, yeah. I cannot be over the other stuff, but still be in a good place here.
Yeah, it's the strength. I said it backwards, emphasizing strength. My struggle is my strength.
Mm.
And loss brought out who I am and how I can be an example for my kids and... you know, service to myself and others. It's shown me self-love. If I didn't walk the line that I walked, I wouldn't be sitting in this chair with love for myself and able to demonstrate that to my kids and anybody else that I get the privilege of sitting with in any capacity. You know, I have and I feel genuine love for myself now, and that was not always the case. And I'm sure I agreed to a soul's contract to explore the theme of loss, of life, of love, and of loss. So it gives me the ultimate perspective to be able to sit opposite a parent that's lost a child. And, you know, even if it's just this much and on a different, completely different level, you know, a part of me understands or has an idea of what a parent is going through. Again, cannot compare. It's not a comparison, but just empathy here.
How much of that, how much of your journey, I'm just putting myself in your head, and I'm like, how much of your journey is a 13-year-old with, who knows nothing, right? And who has no world experience, makes a judgment call. And then you, because I know I would, like if my daughter left me at 13, I would spend the next 10 years going, oh my God, she must be right, and be self-punitive and self-abusive and blah, blah, not being able to separate far enough to go, wait, that's what a 13-year-old thinks. Even if she's my 13-year-old, that's what a 13-year-old thinks. And I'm judging my course of action and my decisions on what a 13-year-old, who maybe can only spell lawyer at this point, what their option is. Did you do that?
Of course, it was a lot of that.
Yeah.
A lot of that. And so although the May 3rd was really the pinnacle, the turning point for me, a little bit of more to kind of backstory to that was once I hit this turning point, I let go. I didn't let go of the love for my kids that I had, the unconditional forever love. It's just a no-brainer. But I let go of my approach and the resistance, because I want to be the change I want to see. So I have to be the example. I have to be the peace. I have to be accepting. Because I did everything that I... Had I not done everything that I thought that I possibly could do, then I wouldn't have that clarity. I wouldn't have that conviction. I wouldn't have that acceptance. But right. Because I did everything, I'm like... and a couple of examples that demonstrate that. I was following my kids to their everything, as any parent does, the games, the shows, the concerts, the whatever.
Right.
I was traveling to Pennsylvania to my daughter's lacrosse game at the time, putting myself up for the weekend to go watch her, to go stand on the sidelines only for her to ignore me, see my son sitting in the stands, oof. Rocco, it's mommy, only to ignore me. But I kept going, and I kept going, and I kept going. You know, my... daughter, they're both musicians. My daughter, at the time, they're doing the orchestra band thing, so I'm following them to their concerts. My daughter's on violin, my son's on trumpet, but they would ignore me. But it didn't stop me, because I'm there. I'm the number one fan. I'm their fan. I'm their number one fan.
Still, that's a metric F-ton of rejection.
This is where I'm going with my turning point. One of the graduations, moving up ceremonies, I went, they walked by, I went to hug them, they pushed me away, you know. All of this is culminating. Graduation, after the turning point, we went to their high school graduation anyway, which I don't regret, but the real turning point was when my daughter is... I wanted to save the best for last and tell you where they are now, because my stalking skills paid off.
She's a private detective?
Yeah. Well, no, it's even better than that. I'll tell you in a second. But my turning point of following my daughter, I found out she was starring in an off-Broadway play at the Cunning Hackett Arts Center. And I show up to watch, and I go to buy my tickets inside, and the theater welcomed me and asked, well, who are you here for? And I said, my daughter. Oh, who's your daughter? Gianna. Jaw drop. They couldn't believe I was their mother. Now, remember, see that again?
Yep.
That's like the third time. That actually represents loss, a lack of closure in readings at times. So see how it's relevant here. So they welcomed me. I got my tickets, and they said, 30 minutes, if you don't mind waiting outside, we'll call you in. And I did. And 30 minutes rolled by, and the theater director came out to greet me, and I instantly knew.
Oh, no.
I instantly knew. But this time, because it had come from my daughter, I'm their number one fan. I want her to shine on any stage that she's on. You know, whether it's theater, in life, I want them to shine. So kill it, girl. You know, do your thing. I left. That was a turning point for me with giving them the space to do them. I'm not going anywhere. You can't kill my love for you. You can't. It's just impossible. Mm-hmm. I will support you from afar, at a distance, telepathically, from heart to heart, soul to soul. You know, but just do your thing and I'll be here waiting. My door is always open. So fast forward. That was, I don't even remember what year that was, but then fast forward, we get to 2017. They leave. I hit rock bottom. And that's when I was like a robot, and just it was affecting my health and everything. So physically, emotionally, financially, everything, I was just really low and like a zombie. And Darren said his thing. So his perspective and everything happening, indicating I have a choice here. Oh, well, wait. I was on my way into work, driving into work. And my family that had just passed, my grandparents and my dad, telepathically came to me with the life-changing message, it's not time to lay down and die. It's time to fly. Then I get to work, and somebody, a co-worker, tracked me down and said, I don't know why, I just had to give this to you. They give me this feather, hawk's feather, about this big. I've actually done videos on it. It's in my office. I knew that was to reinforce the message, it's time to fly.
Right.
So you have a choice. You could lay down and die and give up, or you can rise up and be of service to yourself and to others. And that way you can help your kids. Because you're no good to your kids the other way. So that was my turning point. That's when I made the choice to live and to show my kids to do the same. So I it's not a matter of if, but when. They're learning by default. They're naturally learning this same life lesson to find themselves.
Right.
Or, you know.
Yeah, but it's so hard because, like, I don't know people, but I understand dogs. And, like, if you...
said that so nonchalantly.
If you, like, if your dog, like, gets startled and starts running away and because something startles them, and they start running away from it, and you start calling them, but you call them like, get back here now. The message that they hear is, oh, wait, that's more that I need to get away from. But if you're, so sometimes you just have to move away. People and dogs very rarely come back to that which is chasing them. The instinct is to, if you came at me right now, I would go backwards. The instinct is always to get away from that which is chasing you. So I think you made the right call. Because there's no reunion if you're just constantly chasing, because the reflex is going to be run.
Still, don't let me leave here without telling you how my kids are thriving, despite the story.
Where are you going? We just got started.
Well, I'm just going to show you, like, this is pretty sacred to me, but, you know, I thank you.
Thank you.
My kiddos, right? These are the text threads, right?
Okay.
8 years worth.
Oh.
So.
My God, that's beautiful.
The day that they unlock it, unblock it, their phones are going to blow up.
That's beautiful.
If that's how that'll work, but
if you would ever transcribe that into a book, it would be beautiful.
I was hoping you weren't going to say that, because, man, I'm not feeling right in a book, but you'll hire somebody to do it for me.
No, it's written.
Oh, I see. So just literally, like you said.
An introduction.
Do the work for me.
Yeah, an introduction. Yeah. It's all there. Just an introduction about the journey, and just I don't know a mother that wouldn't buy that book.
Oh, my chills have chills.
There you go.
Yeah. Confirmation. But you know, as we're sharing, the plane's flying by. You know, I'm the queen of connecting dots, for obvious reasons, for my own.
You have the most amazing gift for connecting dots on the planet.
I love it. Because, you know, it wasn't always this way.
I got freaked out. We did the Lifted project.
Yeah.
And it was great. And it was very, very heady. And the first one, the second one was cool too. And you wrote me and you're like, hey, congratulations. That's really cool. Did you notice? And I'm like, notice what? And then the picture of the world pilot was over my head. And no one had ever seen that. And I'm like, God, she's so freaky. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yes. So two ways that, and this is kind of a sidebar, but it's relevant with what we're talking about. You know, we're forever connected to the ones we love and who we are as, you know, being a spiritual being. And again, I'm not asking anyone to believe how I see how our the nature of our existence. But this is what this is what I believe. This is my story, and this is why I do what I do.
Do you ever hear the telepathy tapes?
So you did it again, because this was one of the two things I was going to say that demonstrate.
Sorry, I'll shut up now.
The way that when I say spirit, I mean heaven, source, God, universe, or verse. I had a message for you too. It was, you are the universe. Why can't I say that?
I'm the universe.
You are the universe.
Great. There's a universe, which is everybody else, and then you, John.
You're a whole different thing.
Right. But you don't fit in this galaxy, but over there.
Pertaining to what we're talking about.
I'm the universe?
You are the universe. I am the universe.
Okay.
We are our own universe. So pertaining to what we're talking about, two of the ways that, when we connect to, we can connect to our own higher self for wisdom, or we can connect with our loved ones that have passed to connect with them, or for wisdom as well. So, whatever way you're drawn to, you're drawn to it for a reason. If you're being called deeper, that's because you're remembering who you truly are.
Mm.
But the two ways that we can communicate with the other side, our loved ones in it, or our own higher voice, is through a telepathic communication.
Here we go.
Or, because it's all of the above, a synchronistic connection.
Right.
So synchronicity is often overlooked because it's right there in front of us, so it's dismissed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but our loved ones in spirit and our own inner spirit communicate to us in these two ways, telepathically from within or externally in the world of synchronicity, meaningful connections. No such thing as a coincidence.
Right.
So, I don't know where I was going.
When you on the drive home,
yes,
start listening to the telepathy tapes.
Okay.
So the telepathy tapes is a podcast.
Okay.
It so scientifically bears out what you're saying. So what it is it's a study of autistic and non-verbal children and how they communicate to their teachers and parents. But and this woman makes documentaries, and she started down this rabbit hole, and the amount of hundreds of studies where and they're filmed, they're making a documentary about it now, they're filmed, where an autistic child will be in this room, the mother will be in that room, there'll be somebody with it or whatever, and there's no reflective services, it's soundproof, there's no way to know. And the mother will be shown a picture of a duck, and the autistic child will tap out duck. But hundreds of times, 100% of the time. And then the other thing that these children do, which is kind of, I always think about you when because I think you live on this place. She's interviewing these autistic children from, and most of them are nonverbal, so they have to tap out their answers on the keyboard.
Right.
But she's doing it globally. And the one thing they all have in common, they all go to the hill. And she's like, what's the hill? And the hill is this place that they go to be together.
Wow.
But it's a different energy plane. But John, autistic in England, Shane, autistic in Ukraine, both in an interview say, yeah, we get together on the hill. And I'm like, I bet that's where Shane is all the time.
100%. So you have that dynamic. You have the twin... the twin language, twinning, if you will, where my kids did that themselves. My daughter had to communicate for my son because he was a late speaker.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, Gianna, what's he saying? I said her name. My Gianna Ray of Sunshine and my Rocco. But so no matter the dynamic, whether it's, mentally challenged, twins, soulmates that haven't met yet, estranged family who haven't been reunited yet, loved ones on either side, in this physical realm, mm-hmm. and the spiritual realm, it doesn't matter, because there is separation is an illusion, and this not belief, this knowing is what helps me every day, knowing that we are forever connected. It's just truly embracing that and embodying that. You see evidence of it.
And like, even at 21, when did, at what age were you, without revealing your age, what age were you?
I'm 5'0". I'm proud of it.
Are you really 5'0"?
Excuse me, son of a biscuit. I'm today years old.
There you go.
No,
but I'm also 5'0" plus today.
So here's why I love the number 50, because to me the number 5 represents change.
Mm.
And healthy change at that. And that's right. What I am encompassing.
So if you were 50, you came to accept this. How old were you when you came to accept all this and understand it?
So 50, the turning point, was it 2017? So I'm not doing the math.
So 8 minus 50 is 42. You were 42.
Yeah, thank you.
8 this minus is 50 I do is what not. I do, 'cause I don't 50 do math. Minus 8 is 42. So you're 42. You went through it personally.
Late bloomer.
Well,
yeah.
But you came out nice.
Yeah. I'm a tulip.
There you go. So you at 42 kind of came to this understanding that this is the way things are and blah, 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 blah. They're only 21 today, years old. So, like,
I love where you're going with this. They're ahead of the game.
Yeah.
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 I love where you're going with that, because I think of that myself. That,
good.
That's a blessing in disguise with them being not such quite as late as myself. But again, I don't regret one bit of the journey, because it got me where I am at today. And I trust it's serving my kids in the highest of ways. So that said, I don't know why I want to squeak this in here, but
squeak away.
Given what I do, you know, it's not just loss, but loss, trauma, out-of-body experiences, near-death experiences. I call it a mini one. You know, all of that, you know, you put all that together, that's, you know, major. Ooh, that was loud.
Yeah, how'd you do that?
I'm not going to do it again, but that.
Damn.
Let's, it was major. It's trauma. So trauma can tend to really break us open.
Of course.
And I know, I'm sure you've heard of people having near-death experiences where they come out completely renewed with a new sense, newly gained perspective and outlook on life and the afterlife. And then they have these new missions that they carry out. So myself included, although I didn't have, I wasn't pronounced clinically dead, thank goodness, I have, out-of-body experiences, and this one, the mini NDE, as I call it, I was pregnant, and look at the parallel there. Mm. My babies were with me. I was early stages, pregnant, and I passed out, and I was out for a good while. Pretty sure they said, you can laugh here, because I can't remember if they said it was 5 minutes or 15 minutes. Maybe that's because it felt like 15.
Yeah. You're not expected to remember that. You weren't here.
There was a crowd around me, and they vouched for the fact that, I was out for a while, and I was, they thought I was epileptic, seizing, things like that. So it was pretty extreme, and I was pregnant, so it was pretty dramatic, hence the clip this.
Right.
And when I came to, I remembered I had a visit with my dad. He was still alive at the time. So I met with my dad on the other side. So this is why time and space, as we understand it as humans, is nothing like what it really is. It's just such an illusion. So, our existence transcends all time and space as we understand it. So anyway, in this, near-death experience or out-of-body experience, really, I met my dad in heaven in the afterlife, and I was swinging on a swing, and I felt like just infinitely joyful and happy and at peace. Not, just completely happy. And I was alone at the time on this gigantic hill, so picturesque, with these field of flowers, every color, rainbow of flowers you can imagine. I mean, my words cannot, picture this scene. It was heavenly. It was the spirit world. And then up walking up the hill comes my dad with this big giant grin on his face, so happy to see me and me him. And then we, you know, embraced, and then I came too. And then, you know, of course I couldn't make sense of that at the time. My dad was still alive, right, physically, and we were not, we were estranged at the time, so I couldn't make sense of it. And I didn't make sense of it until actually pretty recently, you know. It was basically a premonition of what was to come. His passing and then our reunion from mm-hmm. the other side. And now our relationship is stronger than ever. Yeah, go figure. He's, you know, from the, I wish him back here in the physical, you know, of every day. But I cherish the relationship that we share now.
Did you forgive him?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Yeah, because it was, my gosh, he and my mom were babies when they got married and mm-hmm. pregnant. They were 16, 17. And my dad always, the love was always there. And just, we didn't have, I always wanted, what kid doesn't want that, like, or daughter doesn't want to be daddy's little girl, you know, things like that. We just never, it was just wasn't in our story. But when we when he was still living and we reconnected and he got to meet my kids, our reunion was just, it was even sweeter. Mm. We both had such a deep appreciation for who we were and to each other. And then it sweetened and softened the relationship between us, my grandparents, because I basically, there was a 10-year period where I didn't see any of them. Mm. But from birth to that time, I wasn't really close to my dad at all. My grandparents stepped in. You know, he was, he tried. He did his, you know, the best that he could. But, you know, of course, when he passes, I long for my dad. We reconnect spiritually. We formulate this new connection and relationship. We're kind of picking up where we left off and then some. And now he's got the capacity to guide me, guide me and send me wisdom. And now he's my mediumship guide. I mean, really? Like, you can't make that up. So you see, there's just, there's always a silver lining when we choose to believe that there is. And he sure is one of mine, you know?
Yeah. And he, it's, I always, not that I'm wishing this on anybody, but it must be nice to be unburdened by all this, the earth shit, and still be.
For sure. And this is why, you know, I'm mindful of not romanticizing the afterlife, although I do understand about this much to believe that it's indescribably amazing. That said, what the hell is our rush? We're there all the time. Like, right, this is the blink of an eye.
What's the purpose of that, though? Like, what's the purpose of this? So if that is so much better.
This is a whole, how much time do you have?
until I have to go there.
Basically, we come here forgetting who we are in order to remember who we are. So we agree. We're infinite, eternal, indestructible beings.
Right.
Energy. You'll agree we're all energy,
yes,
right?
So yep.
Energy cannot be created nor destroyed. It just is.
Right.
So, and I remember you asking before, you know, well, what is God?
Right.
Well, when I say spirit, I mean God, source, universe, tomato, tomato. But God is everything and everyone.
Right.
So when we truly understand that, anything is possible. So in from my lens and the life that I'm experiencing down to the work, it's given me a perspective. And listen, I know that I have an inkling of, it's only scratching the surface of what it probably really is, but I feel pretty good about what I know and believe. And so we're energy, we call it a soul. And we're all one giant soul family, but we do agree to smaller, like, soul families, if you will, so that we can have the physical experience on this earth or maybe another planet in another world, another dimension. We're multidimensional beings having an infinite number of experiences at the same time.
Right.
So in this dimension, we have a soul family, and everyone in that family before we're born, before we incarnate, we sit down and we map out a life down to who plays what part, what theme we explore, when and how we come in, when and how we go out. So we agree to this physical life together, full well knowing what we're coming for. We agree to the parts we're going to play. And so we come here, and but we forget it because that's part of the experience. It's spiritual awakening and enlightenment is freedom. So it's the moment where you remember who you truly are.
Right.
And you know that there is only life and there is no death.
But why make it that way? That's what I always struggle with.
Why like, not?
Because here's how John would make the universe. You're good. You're going to always be good. You are, we are. We're all good. Why okay. do we need to go
this is a beautiful dip into question, physical and life so and come back to up? And,
like, why don't we just stay?
You can't put, I want to say it's like the $1 million question. You can't put a number on it. It's priceless. That is the question of all questions. But if you had to imagine living, existing in the spirit world, in heaven, in eternal bliss, with the sense of, you know, oneness and so amazing. You have no contrast in it. There is
yeah,
no,
but I don't need it. I know that's the argument. I know that's the argument is you need bad to feel good. Ooh. You need blah, blah. But no, maybe I don't. If I'm only good all the time
right.
and I never tasted bad and good was all I knew, good.
Another gift to bounce off what you're saying is we all also have the gift of free will. So when we're in this dimension of oneness and timelessness and bliss, we can also choose to stay there.
But people say you have the gift of free will, and I'm like, well, okay, what if I had just decided never to come down here? What if I just wanted to be up there the whole time?
You can. I can.
I'm here.
Well, you're here now, but you're also looking at it from a very human lens. So understand that time and space, the past, present, and future. Every life you've ever experienced or ever will, myself included, everybody in existence, the past, present, and future, and all of our existences are all happening at the same time, all happening simultaneously.
Right. But if I had free will,
uh-huh.
if I had free will, I'd opt out. I'd say, you know what? No, I'm going to vote no. I'm going to pass on the Earth chapter, and I'm right. just going to be up here.
And people do all the time. And you know, so.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Oh, so you're saying, so I chose to be here.
Correct.
I got to talk to myself.
Well,
but actually, it's turning out okay, but there was a couple minutes there where.
Well, and free will is the gift of being a sovereign being. You know, we're all connected, we're all one, but yet we all have free will.
Right.
In the dimension of the spirit realm, we're more aware of that togetherness, that oneness. Here, we're more aware of separation. So when we embark upon this spiritual awakening and the concept of enlightenment, we start to see evidence of how we're all connected and how there is really only life and that we really don't die, because that's when sometimes we lose people that pass away and go home before us, because it's part of our soul contract together for them to show us the way home, not to you know, but to have this the awakening while we're still on Earth, to take the long way home, to remember who we are before it's too late,
right?
In human terms.
Do you think that you had to go 10 out of 10 on the loss meter to be sensitive to these?
In my story,
because yeah.
it's not always the case. I'm not. I'll sit here and say you don't have to go through that in order to speak spirit. We are spirits, our birthright. But in my story, I know I chose and agreed to have loss times 10 in order to do what we do.
Mm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because it gives me the perspective of knowing that there's something more beyond.
Like the
this realm.
Like the best NBA coaches are players. And then evolve, because they've been through it and can see it. And that's kind of like the best person to deal with your clients deal with loss. That's your job, is
right.
to heal loss. The best person to heal loss is somebody who played it like really hard.
Love it. I mean, that's so true.
Yeah,
so true. Because I can share that perspective with them. I can empathize with them. I can hold space and really feel the genuine compassion, even if they're apples and oranges and the levels of loss. But yeah, it certainly.
And I don't even know about levels of loss, because like I don't know how to measure it. Like there's that saying that the worst thing that ever happened to you is the worst thing that ever happened to you.
Yes, and I appreciate
like
that.
One person's loss is there, is as correct. Big as my 20 and person's loss. But then on the other hand, I'm like, yeah, but Shane really took it on the nose for a bunch of years. Maybe that does move your head into a space where you're more receptive to things than
well, back to trauma, you know, near-death experience is really traumatic. So you have near-death experiences, right. out-of-body experiences. I call them spiritually transformative experiences, something that really shakes you up in order to wake you up.
Mm-hmm.
So I've had a handful of, you know, maybe more than that, of direct loss, you know, those, you know, I'll say it again, the out-of-body experiences. And when you put them all together, what are they really doing? They're showing you evidence of there being more to than this physical realm.
Right.
You know, the NDE with my dad, I met him in heaven. He was still alive. It was a premonition. I had another one where I saw the light. Literally saw the light. So I'm sure you've seen documentaries on TV where people talk about how amazing the light is.
Right.
Well, let me tell you, amazing is an understatement. You cannot define, you cannot describe what the light is like. Mm. Light is all of us, all that is. Confirmation, you can't make that up. Sorry, I forgot to silence my phone, but there
no,
you go. That's
hilarious.
Why I didn't.
No, my family calls all the time during the show. Yeah.
So confirmation, say it again for those in the back. There you go, because the light was, that was the second, that happened after the one with my dad, and that was really game-changing for me, eye-opening, heart-opening. I knew that there was more to this, and that really drew me down the pathway of energy work, and because I was actually working with energy first before I was doing the mediumship.
Mm.
I was doing Reiki, if you will, on myself and others, and I was noticing a pattern of seeing people's love. People would come to me for Reiki sessions. I'd be doing hands-on energy healing with them, and okay, does she know her mother's here, or I don't know how she feels. So there's so many, it's a slippery slope, right? But handled it diplomatically, of course, but over time I realized that was happening to show me the way. I was meant to hone in on that area. Anyway, I digress. The energy healing, I was, you never know. Detaching from the expectation of an outcome is so powerful, because when you do, you just could block yourself off unintentionally, unknowingly. And I'm glad that I was open to following the path of Reiki at the time, because it opened the door for mediumship. So if I didn't go down that, you know, Reiki path, who knows if I'd be where I am today.
Yeah, and B, it's like another tool in the tool belt. Like, look.
Oh yeah.
So like, I have one other person that I know who's like you. When I hug you, it's a different thing. Do you get that a lot?
Yes, and I appreciate you sharing that, because hugging to me is when two hearts say "I love you" without having to use words.
Yeah.
You know, on a very safe, just spiritual level, from one person to another, from one, you know, from one soul to another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a way of saying I love you.
But there's people like I said, you and my friend Becky. Like, there's something about touch that's very different.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, see, yes, with the. I've made the choice to expand my awareness and connection to energy and the other side and the people in it, in order to, I'm more sensitive, because I'm choosing to be. We all have this, you know, I think it might be fair to say, as long as there's a relevant need for it in our life and the theme that we've chosen to explore, it's all there in every one of us. Just sometimes it might be more relevant to bring it out. But still, at the very least, the first connection that's always available is the connection to our loved ones and the people that we still love that have passed on. Mm. You know, it's just, so it's down to awakening to this energy that's, you know, well, we're energy. We're just basically turning it up and we're tuning into who we are. So it's awakening to it and then choosing how far do we want to take it? Like, do we want to use it for healing and, you know, energy work on others? Do we want to, do mediumship, do it. There's a gazillion different ways you can channel the energy. Ooh, this might help you too. Channeling, really, when you're doing what you love, that could be singing, playing, painting, teaching, X, Y, Z. When you are doing what you love, you are in the state of channeling.
Mm.
So really all you're doing is raising your vibration. And when you're raising your frequency, you're just like two antennas as opposed to one. You're opening yourself up to receive.
Right.
So I'm just choosing and I'm okay with, and I'm choosing to be open. So therefore I am. And you are, listen, we wouldn't be having this conversation if you weren't there too.
Right. No,
so
it's
you're sensing that openness. So just you like say with your other friend, yeah. Becky, you're sensing that within her. She's sensing that within you. There, you feel it and you translate it as warmth or however you feel it.
So I have Becky on the show, right? and there was we had a woman on who reads Ashtonic records. Do I have that right?
Akashic, yep.
Thank you, Akashic records. And we're like, okay. What, and I'm dying to get your opinion on this. And she moved, or else I would have you in the same room with her too.
I was just gonna say hi, Becky. I haven't even met her, but I want to meet her.
she comes to New York every once in a while. But
nice.
So we're like, what's our story? Because it feels like we both say, yeah, like when I hug you, I've known you before, and like we're not old friends. We've only been friends like 4 or 5 years, but like when we're around each other, like it was comfortable from the get. Like it was with you.
Yeah.
It was comfortable from the get. Like just, you know. Somehow I've known you before, and somehow like, so we asked her and she's like, you know, she's like, well, you two were married, but you had too many kids and it ruined everything for you. And you both kind of said, look, in the next life, let's just be friends because it's like,
less baggage, less drama.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. And I'm like, that sounded like loopy to me. And I wasn't like completely sold on it. But then she's like, yeah, I could kind of see me doing that. I'm like, I could kind of see me doing that too. I don't know if it really was or not, but is there something to that whole idea like that I've known you before and that we, that, because you were the same way. Like you sat down, I'm like, oh, that's my old friend, even though I just met you.
Yeah.
Or is that just connection?
It absolutely is. There's truth to it. My perspective on it is a little bit different, but it kind of comes from the same place. Back to the soul family.
Yeah.
Again, we're all part of the same soul family. We wouldn't be sitting here if we weren't. So thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here.
So I'm going to give you an analogy, too, that will support the idea of we're up in heaven, we're in spirit, and we're mapping out this life down to who plays what part and role and what theme we explore. So, you know, my theme was loss, and yours is what yours is to you. And then we choose to incarnate and have the temporary human experience. And remember, because the bigger part of who we are, understand this, the bigger part of who we are is a spiritual being. So the physical essence of who we are is like the size of our pinky. Like,
right.
Okay. So we're in spirit. We're in heaven right now, just dreaming that we're not.
That is mighty close to... simulation theory.
Ooh, okay. Ooh, love it.
That is mighty so close to simulation theory. That this isn't real. Yeah. That we're someplace else, and
not that it's not real. It's just a real experience.
Right.
But the bigger part of who we are is in the spirit world.
Is someplace else.
And we agree to project this hologram type experience, if you will.
Right.
On this realm, this realm dimension for a day. And then once we learn what we need to, we wake up and we're home.
So how are you with all the loss now?
So I've been talking to you for how long now? And I've only hiccuped a few times.
We're at an hour and a half.
So
we're cooking.
So I think that's your answer. I'm able to talk about it, and that measures my healing. Because my blood pressure, in the past, I couldn't talk about it. I just, you know, I couldn't get the words out without crying or being a babbling, you know what, just, we got off to, if I may say, a rough start for me, you know, I lost my train of thought a couple of times, but that's the pain, that's the grief that's still within me. I mean, I'm human. I wouldn't be here if I wasn't still feeling it to some degree. But right. I'm able to put it in perspective and choose acceptance of why it's all happening and where I am and where my kids are. So there's a real, again, power with acceptance. So I'm able to sit with you here and talk about it. Little hiccups here and there, but the bigger part of me, I got this.
Right. Do you...
But Mother's Day isn't easy. I'm off on Mother's Day because I need to just do me and leave me alone.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it.
You know.
Yeah, I do.
And other days.
But Mother's Day. You know, people always talk about people getting depressed around the holidays. This Mother's Day, for some reason... Hold on. It's my family calling on me. I always embarrass them by putting them on the show.
I love hold this. On.
You're on Home From Here with medium Shayna Moore. How can I help you? For calling me two shows in a row.
Can I say hi, Annie? But I didn't know that. I've seen it on his phone.
is there any way you could call me other than when I'm doing shows?
You know, I feel like your girl should call my boy with your schedule.
Can I help you or can I continue making your show?
You know, you can continue making a show. Hello, everyone from Home From Here. You know, best podcast in Hudson Valley.
Whoop, whoop. Say it again, Annie.
All right, I'll call you later.
Okay, love you.
Love you,
too. Love you, too. I love her.
Oh, God. Yes. You guys should meet. No, they do it all the time. They know I'm working, and they just call. And I'm like, okay,
just
well, then...
Just know it's also confirmation of what you're talking about at this time.
That.
So just pay attention to what you're doing, what you're talking about.
I don't... You have that gift to, like, 10. I have it to 1.5. Hmm? You have that gift to 10. I have it at, like, 1.5. Every time
no,
you say
climbing.
Something...
No, it's climbing. It's you sell yourself short.
It was 1.3 last year, and now it's 1... But, no, every time you say something like that, I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. I'm like, why can't...
Well, you ready for this?
Yep.
It's safe to say I saw her name on the phone. That name is actually a symbol for me that refers to what we're talking about here in family and specifically my daughter. It's not her name, but it's just all in the vein of family and abandonment issues and loss. And look at the play, Annie. Right?
Right.
So you wonder why it's a symbol for me.
Right.
And then your dear... friend Annie chimes.
She's my sister.
So there you can't make
my adopted
family
oddly enough
abandoned.
Annie Orphan sister.
So
yeah.
Do you understand?
See how see, but I can't do that.
This well you're doing it now.
No, you did it. I just
no,
said it back
you're doing
to you.
It with me because you're understanding it.
Well, I just said it back to you.
Resonating with you. So therefore you're understanding
right.
this. That synchronicity. The synchronicity is at play right here. With what it means to me, she chimes in what it means to you and what it means what we're honoring here in this session is family.
Life, I love that you love, call my show love. A session. That's beautiful.
A session at home. Is there that better?
What's your relationship with your ex now? None. Zero. No. Yeah. That's hard too because you like the... When they left, you weren't, like, nobody asked your opinion about going to college, and nobody asked your opinion about...
I was the most, and still am, the most involved parent there is without being involved.
Right.
Makes sense.
Well, you got 8 years of text and it's showing up.
So back to how my stalking skills paid off. Say that fast 5 times. So, up to the turning point, I changed my approach. We still went to their high school graduation. I'm so glad we did. But, you know, they didn't want us there either.
Right.
But anyway, then they graduated. And that's a whole new chapter for them. And even harder to find out where they're at and what they're up to. But I found out my... who do I tell first? Well, my son is born first, so I'll go with him.
Okay. How many minutes before?
60 seconds.
60 seconds, 1 minute, okay.
Yeah, well, my daughter was 60 seconds after.
Right.
So
he's a minute older.
Yes. And so he is all about cars.
Okay.
And another connection here, my dad was a mechanic. He was a lot of things, but the thing later on in life, he was a mechanic. He had a shop.
Oh, wow.
And also a musician.
Oh, wow.
And in a band. How much time do we have? So my son had some time with my dad, and I like to believe that they're, telepathically connected, because why else is my son doing cars? He went to an automotive tech, graduated, now he's working somewhere, I just don't know where. But he's doing what he loves. So I know somehow, to some degree, life is still loving him because he's mm-hmm. following his heart and doing what he loves. My daughter, same thing, is doing what she loves. She's chasing Broadway.
Mm.
So she's living in Manhattan. Not sure where. But she is, she's amazing. They both are. But she is, she had her first gig. She did a dinner theater show. She was starring in that play out in Indiana, just the travel project.
Right.
Came back and is rooted in the city. But my point is that they're doing what they love, and that's my dream for them.
Right.
I mean, that's why we're here. Remember who we are and do what you freaking love.
Right.
Do what you love and love what you do.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're doing that. So at the very least, that's a win.
Yeah.
And then, by doing what you love, you're loving yourself and you're choosing happiness. It's a part of my... plight, is that a word?
Yeah.
The choice to leave and, facilitate my own emancipation was, it's okay to want to be happy.
Yep. Did I tell you my ancestry DNA story?
Well, yes.
Okay.
Well, kind of, sort of. And I don't know how much I can say on here.
You can say anything you want.
Margaret came up. I know that.
Right. Yeah. And, no, I did tell you that. But my point, and I forgot I told you. Yeah. My point was, like, it's so funny how, like, we want to plot out reunion as soon as we can have it, and I had to wait till much longer until I could handle, like, meeting my 25 siblings, as my dad populates the East Coast. but like I wouldn't have been good at managing it until like 2 years ago.
Exactly.
So, I imagine it's near impossible for you to be patient about it, but by the same token, if at all possible, shit happens when it's supposed to happen.
100%. Like, there's a divine reason. As much as we have, again, this is my take, as much as we have free will, we also have the divine will. So, we have the template there. So, from start to finish, entry to exit, right? And then the theme we chose. But how we get there, we can choose to run, jump, skip, hop, cry, crawl, right? That's free will. So
right.
Divine will is the template. Free will is, well, how do I want to traverse? So that said, when the feelings come up, I honor them, because stuffing them won't help. They'll just get bigger. So I honor them and I wipe my tears and I choose trust.
Mm.
In the positive.
Right.
In the good.
Right.
In that it's all working out in our favor, not just by mine, but my kids. So on a grander level, when I'm vulnerable, I feel it, and then I choose. I choose positive. I choose love.
Right.
I choose love. Because, oh, really,
we
have two rabbit holes that we can go down. We have two rabbit holes we can choose in this journey. And they're both valid.
Right.
We need to... we have to, we can't heal what we don't own. And part of this journey is fear and love. It's not just love. That's
right.
The spirit. So we come here to feel the contrast of something other than bliss all the time. That's why we have the struggle and the loss and the suffering in this dimension. So the two rabbit holes, love and fear. And when we catch ourselves here, validate it, but then challenge yourself to, I'm going to choose love. Like, every time I get down or low. Now it's like with time, with practice, I've built momentum, and it's easier to recover and bounce and redirect, whereas before, not so much. But now, when I'm there, I'm like, I know why I'm doing this.
Right. What do you eat?
Everything.
You eat everything?
Everything. I eat what I love and love what I eat.
So you don't eat...
So your question, see, you're psychic yourself. You're very tuned in and tapped in because that question is... doing what you love and loving what you do. So whether it's the food that you consume, the words that you speak, the thoughts that you have, the people you allow into your orbit, all of that is nutrition for your soul.
Mm.
So it's how you look at it. So if more specifically, it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Mm.
It's not what you eat, it's how you eat it. It's the energy that is accompanied with whatever it is that you're doing. Or thinking, or feeling, it's energy. This game of life is really a game of energy. It's like a video game. It's like, you know, calling yourself out.
Simulation theory.
Yeah. There it is. Oh, I, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so drawn to Star Wars with that one epic scene where Leia, Princess Leia, in the hologram, right?
Because it's
a very true depiction, in my belief, of what this reality is all about.
Hmm.
So that's another reason why I love Star Wars. But my dad was also Darth Vader, and back during circa Studio 54, right?
Yeah, man.
My mom and dad went.
Unfortunately, I know what that is.
Yeah, so this is great. I'm proud to say this story. I don't want to know what went on behind those doors.
I bet you don't.
But they left with a trophy. They won a costume. Halloween,
oh, really?
Halloween. My dad was Darth
that's
Vader.
A job at Studio 54.
Right?
That's a job.
Yeah, I know. So, and then he was all about Star Wars, and then he was Darth Vader. They had a house party, my mom and dad. He was Darth Vader, and our family cousin, who's still with us, brilliant mind, he created and produced an actual replica of R2-D2. He's a scientist, physicist, and... Oh, that left a mark on me.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So I'm a little addicted to Star Wars for many reasons, part sentimental and part spiritually.
How's business? Good?
Oh, my gosh. It's wonderful.
Is it? That's great.
I'm ineffable, like ineffable. I learned that word because there are no words to describe the feeling of how much I love my kids, my family, life, and what I do as a medium because it gives me the opportunity to be of service to myself and to others in the most rewarding way. And we're doing it, and we're doing well.
Good.
So thank you for asking. But I'm not happy with Facebook.
Why not?
Because I love our page, our platform, and we have our community there, and that's what I'm grateful for. But I got like these restrictions on my page where I can't resolve it. So that's why I said, let me explore other avenues. I did a less than 2-minute little podcast video, my podcast of my own, just to kind of explore.
Do you want to do a podcast?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Come here and do it. I'll produce it. Definitely. That's part of the vision of doing this, building this studio, was so that people could come and make podcasts here. I can't do 60 hours a week of podcast. I'm serious. Come do it.
This is speaking to me, and yeah, I don't know what to say because it's just wow.
Say yes. Yes is good.
Yes, yes.
There you go.
That was French, by the way. I don't know where that came from. But what were we saying right before?
That you're going to come do a podcast
here.
Yes. Okay.
But Facebook, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just trying to resolve. I'm unable to resolve the issues on Facebook, so I'm kind
There's
of
people who do that.
And so here's the thing. I actually, you know how you have, I have a business page. That's my Facebook business page. But in order to have one, you have to have a creator, a profile, a personal profile.
Okay.
Well, I figured, well, let me, I wasn't able to find, I don't know why I'm taking up time about this. I couldn't resolve it on my, there's no person in Facebook world to contact to
no,
resolve
there's not.
The issue.
So, no, but there's people, there's consultants that do this.
So what I did, I didn't know that, but what I did was I got the blue badge on my personal in order to get the enhanced support, only for them not to be able to resolve the issue on my my business page.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm like done with it. I'm just grateful that I have the platform.
If you just Google what happened to you, there's people that specialize in this. Okay. So
thank yeah. you. Times two, times three, times I can't.
Do you know this is how messed up Facebook is?
It's very challenging.
We did the Lifted project, right?
Yes.
And not trying to sound like an asshole, but it went kind of viral, right? And you know, it went from like zero mentions to however many gazillion mentions in the course of like 2-3 days, right? Facebook flags it as violating community standards because it thinks it's bots doing it. So I write and I'm like, here's the website. We don't touch any money ever. It's all volunteer. But 2 years, you can't write liftedproject.org on Facebook.
Wow. Okay. I lament with you, or I empathize. So same thing, different details. My page is restricted. I was thinking about getting the blue badge for my business page. I don't do any advertising. That's not my intention. I just, you know, thought it would be fun and I'd have enhanced support for whatever. Couldn't even do that. I'm not eligible to sign up for that because of these restrictions, which are, drum roll please, it has my website tagged as being religious.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
And I don't even have the opportunity to say, well, it's independent of all religions. It's spiritual. It's the umbrella of all that is. So please, can we talk about this?
Google these names. Because there are people that can, yeah. And I'm gonna do it for Lifted Project. So if I come across somebody good.
So same boat.
Yeah, same exact boat.
But hopefully it's not 2 years. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's only 2 years because then I'm like, I finally got fed up and said, okay, I'm not going to mention the website anymore. And I just started a Lifted Project page and just do it all through there. It's annoying.
And even though we're already, you know, talking about there's ways around it, in the interim when you're facing that brick wall, it's like, you know, that door is closed for a reason.
Right.
I wouldn't have done... It's just a 2-minute video I shared on Spotify, but it's a powerful one. And it's, you know, what I do all the time, just a different stage. I've got plenty of videos on Facebook, but I was, you know, I know that it was kind of forcing me, nudging me to go
in a different direction. What didn't I ask you?
Let me look at my teleprompter.
At the teleprompter. I want to make sure we cover everything.
Check. So I'm good.
We nailed it?
Yeah.
How do you feel?
I feel great.
Do you?
I do. Can you were strong to do this.
Yeah, you're a little lighter.
It was.
Yeah.
Heavy in the beginning.
It was a little in here in the beginning.
I think we got up to 4 of those.
The hiccups. Yep.
You know, the audience didn't get to see them.
But I did, and they were pretty.
Oh, they are. It's all worth it.
I'm being dead serious. Come back in here and do your own show.
That sounds
And I'll just
dreamy.
Sit here and produce it. And
that sounds dreamy.
Do whatever you want to do.
Because I got my little, at home, my desktop's connected to Riverside, but it's just very foreign to me. It's a software.
I use Riverside for virtual stuff. But of course I do. Yeah. But being in a studio with somebody is just worlds better. But I can teach you Riverside if you want, because it's great for doing stuff at home. But
you see how this is all
going? And it's Riverside is way.
You have to do Riverside.
No, you don't. It's way better to sit in a room with somebody.
Yeah.
But I mean, Riverside looks so complicated, but it's not. Because I know it. But being in a room is just way that much better.
Versus the virtual breakout rooms. Yeah. Wow, thank you. Yes, and I'm so excited. I can't thank you enough for having me. And
thank you for coming in here.
And listening to the hiccups and all that. But
the hiccups are beautiful.
Listening to our story.
Give me the website.
Thank you. So I'll say it first and I'll spell it because it's French, even though I'm not French. So
You eat whatever you want, whenever you want, and you look like that.
It's a mindset. It's like I enjoy... Joy is...
We were friends until this point.
Okay, I'll stop now.
No, don't stop. Just gain 20 pounds and so, then we can. That's crazy.
Joy is who we
do,
are.
Do you really think it's a mindset?
Enjoy what you're doing down to what you're eating. It'll love you back. So what'd you say?
You really think it's a mindset?
100%.
Do you work 100%.
Out? No, I work out on the couch. The only thing Darren and I do is we ride the motorcycles, but that's seasonal. So that's a few
that's
times.
Sitting.
And, well, I ride a GSXR 1000, so I beg to differ. But that's seasonal. It's limited. The other thing we do is play golf. We play, you know, we carry for 9 holes, but that's also
carrying
limited.
For 9 holes is a workout.
It is,
that's
but it's limited. You know, it's, we're like.
You don't work out. You eat what you warriors want, and you look like you.
For the week. I'm wired. I'm high energy. I'm highly revved. I think that lends to,
right.
You know, there's components, but the
I work out 2 hours a day and I don't look like you.
Is here.
And I don't have
what
that.
What are you talking about? You and Trish are killing it because, you know, I see you two.
She's killing it, but.
And
all
they're
right.
Both, they're awesome. You're lovely ladies.
Yeah. They're both good. My
they're amazing.
My dumb daughter. So prompt.
Said with love.
Maybe.
The utmost.
No, just kidding. One quick story before we take off.
Of course.
This is hilarious. So she's a senior, so she's going to college, right?
Right.
And so she, it's prom, senior prom, right? And she goes to a school district where money's no object, right?
Yeah.
So they go out and they, you know, you register to buy a dress and you have an appointment. Like,
it's like a wedding.
Yeah, exactly like a wedding. So she has this guy that she's dating for like 2 years, right?
Oh, wow.
And very, very nice kid. So she's like 5 foot maybe. He's like 5'4" maybe. So we get the dress. And you gotta have the shoes, and for the shoes to buy shoes, you literally have to bring in pictures of you standing next to the person you're gonna go to, and then they say, "All right, well, these shoes will lift you to here," and blah blah, right? $200 for the shoes, right? Then she's my daughter's ridiculously smart. So then she goes, "Wait a second, I he's chasing me to the college that I'm going to," and she's like, "I don't want that," and he's like, "He thinks we're gonna get married, and I don't want that," so. She breaks up with him.
Yeah.
She then meets this guy online, very nice guy from the city, and she's like, "He's my prom date." He comes over to visit. He's like 6'4". So now my 5 foot daughter, quick run to the shoe store with the dress, do the scale.
Platform,
now you need these shoes, right? Another $200.
Yeah.
Then, because of you, she is allowed to go on a trip to the Bahamas.
So
she,
oh, you're
because
you're
of you.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah, I'm like, "Hey, listen, man, I can't,
now I'm starting to wonder."
And by the way, you were right. Time of our life, you were 100% right, as always. And she comes back and she's like, "Yeah, I broke up with him. He was getting possessive while I was there. You know, teenage, he was getting possessive." So I'm like, "Okay." So a week later, she meets this other kid online. No, she went from like 5'4" to 6'4". This third kid, who's also very nice and is now her new prom date, is cut right in the middle. He's like 5'8".
The happy medium.
Yeah, except another pair of shoes.
2, 4, 6. What are we?
$600, wow. 3 pairs of prom shoes. I'm like, if you break up with this dude,
yeah.
Then, but she has a.
I don't see another pair of shoes in your future.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm gonna call Shane. I don't see if Shane sees it either because
you don't do projections. You create your own future in reality. Just saying.
There
That's
we
the
go.
Truth.
But no, it's hilarious. But yeah, no, she got to go to the Bahamas because I came back and I told Trish, I'm like, "Listen, this just happened. I'm reading Schmieding. This just happened." Yeah. Without knowing that story still amazed me because you didn't know her name. Yeah. You had, and even if you did know her name. Which you couldn't, but even if you did, you had nobody on the planet except me and her had an idea that she was going to the Bahamas.
Right.
And you're like, "Gramercy, Bahamas, she'll be fine." I'm like, "What the fuck was that?" That would never stop freaking me out, man. That was insane.
It makes me happy to hear,
yeah.
too.
Oh, it was great. Website, I'm sorry, I interrupted you with a prom story.
So, no, I love all of this, so thank you. It's shaneamour.com. That's shaineamour. So it's love in French.
Hmm.
Oui.
Gramercy is big thank you in French. Gramercy.
Oh,
my daughter's name.
Merci, oui.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
all right. Anything else? Did we get it all?
No,
you
no,
feel
this
good?
I feel wonderful. I can't.
No, please. Anytime.
I'm letting you tell my story. And now I can. I think I can say it. Tell it a little bit easier.
You look a little lighter.
So I feel a lot.
Awesome. Beautiful.
All right.
Thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, all right. Bye everybody.
Everyone. <Please swear.
laughs> Nice. Thank you.